This is Mike Moss, WNBC News. It's 3:30, 25 degrees in New York, and it's sunny. In the Bath Beach section of Brooklyn today, 15 homes were extensively damaged in a four-alarm fire. Several persons suffered minor injuries, including one fireman who suffered frostbite. The fire prompted the Red Cross into action. A spokesman explained why.
At least 100 people were made homeless. The Red Cross set up an emergency shelter in a candy store at 1640 Bath Avenue. The Red Cross will do whatever is necessary to help these people, such as providing free shelter, food, clothing, and transportation. In this case, many of these people have requested transportation to friends and relatives, and this is now being done by Red Cross volunteer drivers.
Thousands of apartment dwellers here in the city are hoping for warmer weather. The limited heat emergency declared Thursday by Mayor Lindsay remains in effect, but there are still about 1,000 apartment buildings without heat. Complaints are pouring into the city's main complaint number, worth $43,000, at about $200 an hour. Building inspectors are working overtime today to certify buildings without heat, so emergency repair work can be ordered by the city and billed to the landlords. One man from Queens, Edward DeVito, called WNBC News and said,
"The reason I'm calling you now is because I keep hearing on the radio about the heat crisis and the reason that nothing really can be done is because of the lack of city inspectors, the lack of funds in the city, and also the inadequate laws that we have regarding tenants."
Edward DeVito represents the United Tenants Organization of Queens. He says his group is planning a mass demonstration for Monday in Queens to protest the situation. Teachers are on strike in at least three North Jersey districts this weekend. The labor disputes are basically caused by wide differences between teachers' unions and boards of education over salary schedules for the teachers. In North Arlington, the teachers are being asked by their union this weekend to return to work Monday. If they don't, the Board of Education in North Arlington will seek a court order. A court order to the striking teachers in Passaic has done no good. The walkout is 9 days old. The Board of Education and the teachers' bargaining unit are meeting in Passaic today. Teachers and school officials are still far apart in East Brunswick, where the schools are also closed. There are indications the dispute in Belport, Long Island, which has kept the high school closed for a week, may have been resolved. Teachers will vote on an administrative proposal Monday, and classes at the racially troubled school may resume Wednesday. Rockets have smashed into the Da Nang area, the far northern part of South Vietnam. It's the area where Allied intelligence reports indicate communists may mount a major offensive. Details of the attack in the Da Nang area are still sketchy. The number of rockets fired and the amount of damage or casualties they caused have not been determined. Da Nang is South Vietnam's second largest city. Egypt says its planes hit an Israeli position along the Suez Canal. It's the second straight day of Egyptian attacks on Israeli-held territory. Israel reports no casualties or damage, but Cairo says military installations were hit and heavily damaged. In the Israeli port city of Eilat, an ammunition-loaded Israeli army truck blew up. At least 17 were killed and 33 others wounded in the explosion. The Senate is debating the administration bill to reduce penalties for the possession of marijuana in an unusual Saturday session. In sports, in the second period, the New York Rangers lead the Boston Bruins 5-1. In college basketball, Drake beat Louisville 86-75 this afternoon. At the half, Davidson leads Princeton 34-29, and Northwestern leads Purdue 36-31. A possible boycott of the American Basketball Association All-Star Game was averted today. An agreement was reached about an hour before the game at Indianapolis. The weather mostly sunny and cold this afternoon, with a high in the mid to upper 20s, clear and cold tonight, low 15-20, mostly sunny but not as cold tomorrow, high in the mid to upper 30s. There is no chance of snow tonight, a 10% chance tomorrow. Winds northwest at 5, the humidity 46%, it's 25 degrees and sunny. Once again, the hour's top story, several persons injured today when a four-alarm fire destroyed or extensively damaged 15 homes in the Bath Beach section of Brooklyn. This is Mike Moss, WNBC News. Now back to NBC's Monitor with Henry Morgan.
What if the winter brings ice and snow?
Monitor warms your heart, makes you glow.
You won't mind freezing if you spend the season with NBC.
Henry Mancini, orchestra and chorus with There's Enough to Go Around. Henry Morgan, solo, spreading a little thin. Now, if you're dry, speaking of thin, I just heard that the Beatles are cutting their hair. I'm sorry, folks. You've all been betrayed. That's what they were waiting for. Me too. I never went for that long stuff. Uses too much dye. Now, if you're driving, in most parts of the country, the roads are terrible. Slush, snow, salt. Salt is the worst. That's very bad for the car. You should hose it off as soon as you can before it does permanent damage to the finish.
David Frost here. In some places, it's harder to renew a library card than a driver's license. That's why State Farm Mutual wants you to support the National Highway Safety Bureau's efforts to tighten licensing procedures. Because with a library card, a bad driver can take books out of circulation. With a driver's license, he can take you out of circulation.
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
The leader of the House of Representatives, Speaker McCormick, is under siege. Democratic Representative Richard Bolling of Missouri has just launched a campaign to get rid of him as leader of the House. Congressman Bolling explained his action to Paul Duke on Capitol Hill Monitor.
Congressman Bolling believes Speaker McCormick no longer can lead the Democrats effectively, that it's time to give the House leadership position to a younger man.
I've had the opportunity to know John McCormick for many years and very well, particularly when he was majority leader. And I think he's done many useful things for his party and for his district and for the country. But I don't think he's ever been a very skillful legislative leader. And leading a Democratic group in the House of Representatives today is an extremely difficult thing. And we demonstrated last session that he just doesn't succeed. And if, as I expect, we continue in the majority in the House of Representatives, clearly the country needs a more effective leader of the Congress.
Bolling has written two books in which he has cataloged what he believes is wrong with the House, why it takes so long to get some bills passed.
Seniority is the fundamental thing that's wrong. And fundamentally, it's the fault of the Democratic Party that the seniority system so skews the House of Representatives as to make it truly unrepresentative of the nation. I could go on and expand in detail, but we simply have to find a new method of choosing the people who will exercise the power of the people in the House of Representatives.
Bolling believes there are too many disloyal Democrats, mostly from the South, who have too much power in Congress because of the seniority system.
It is, to my mind, totally ridiculous to have a man like Mendel Rivers of Charleston, South Carolina, the chairman of the Committee on Armed Services, simply because he calls himself a Democrat. He doesn't vote like a Democrat. He hasn't supported the programs of Democratic presidents or Democratic candidates. He calls himself a Democrat. He is a South Carolina Democrat. And yet he is the most powerful man in the House with regard to all of the matters that come within the purview of the armed services.
The 53-year-old Bolling is a principal advocate of reforms in congressional operating procedures.
I've proposed that we have a different method of selection where the majority of the majority party, in this case the Democratic Party, would actually select every 2 years the people that would be chairman and who would serve on the key committees.
Bolling was born in New York City but educated in the South. He was on General MacArthur's Pacific Headquarters staff during World War II, returned and ran for Congress in 1948. He admits he would like to be a House leader himself and confesses he is, rather ironically, bound to benefit from the system he doesn't like.
Sure, of course I'd like to be Speaker of the House of Representatives. I am fortunate, however, in that I'm a relatively young man with a lot of seniority. And almost inevitably, unless all of my reforms are adopted and applied to me, if we follow even a very modified form of seniority, I am going to end up being the chairman of one of the three most powerful committees in the House of Representatives, the Committee on Rules.
The reform-minded congressman from Missouri, Democratic Representative Richard Bolling. This is Paul Duke for Monitor on Capitol Hill.
A new one by Al Martino,
can't help falling in love with you.
Wise men say only fools rush you, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be
sung in 1 minute right here on the Monitor Beacon.
Yesterday it was just a dream. Today it's for real. Pan Am introduces the plane with the spiral staircase in first class. The plane with the two wide aisles and the widescreen movies and the 8-foot ceilings. Pan Am introduces the plane with all the room in the world. The one and only 747. And now that it's all ours, it's all yours. Plan to fly it today, tomorrow, or next week at the very latest, because flying was never like this.
The only 747s flying, and now you can take one any day from New York to Europe for the same fare as ordinary planes. For reservations, call your Pan Am travel agent or call 973-4000.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. Here's Peggy Lee on monitor with her love story.
I like your brother. I like your mother. I like you. And you like me too. We'll get a preacher. You buy me a ring. We'll hire a band with an accordion.
You and me, babe. You and me.
to be straight. We don't want to bend one. He'll drink his baby brew from a big brass cup. Someday he may be president.
Monitor News Report on the Problem of News and Truthful Reporting from Vietnam. Here's Kenley Jones in Saigon.
The U.S. military command in Vietnam is still suffering from a credibility gap in its reporting of enemy dead. The latest flap in the long-standing controversy arose this week when for a short time the command reported that 234 enemy soldiers had been killed by U.S. troops near the Cambodian border. Later, the command said the actual enemy body count was only 27, that a mistake had been made when a field commander's initial estimate of enemy dead was reported as confirmed. The wide discrepancy between the estimate and the actual body count is what gives one pause about the reporting procedures, because confirmations of kills generally come from the same field commanders who make the estimates. And those commanders stand to gain professionally if their units have high enemy body counts. In this case, the estimate of 234 was made by a commander and his staff after the battle was over. They sat down and figured the number of enemy troops they believed were in the battle zone. Then they compared that with the amount of American firepower poured into the area and came up with a death equation of sorts. So many enemy soldiers killed by airstrikes, so many by artillery, so many by ground forces, and so on. This time, however, the estimate did not get passed off permanently as fact. Kenley Jones, NBC News, Saigon.
News, news reports, and features every weekend on Monitor. Here's a new one. It's number one in England, sung by Ralph Harris, Two Little Boys.
Two little boys had two little toys. Each had a wooden horse. Gaily they played each summer's day. Warriors both, of course. One little chap then had a mishap. Broke off his horse's head. Wept for his toy, then cried with joy, as his young playmate said, "Did you think I would leave you crying when there's room on my horse for two? Climb up here, Jack, and don't be crying. I can go just as fast with two. When we grow up, we'll both be soldiers, and our horses will not be toys. And I wonder if we'll remember when we were two little boys. Long years passed, war came so fast, bravely they marched away. Cannon roared loud, and in the mad crowd, wounded and dying lay. Up goes a shout, a horse dashes out, out from the ranks so blue. Gallops away to where Joe lay, then came a voice he knew. I would leave you dying when there's room on my horse for two. Climb up here, Joe will soon be flying. I can go just as fast with two. Did you say, Joe, I'm all a tremble? Perhaps it's the battle's noise, but I think that I remember when we were two little boys. Did you think I would leave you dying? There's room on my horse for two. Climb up here, Joe will soon be flying back to the ranks so blue. That I remember when we were two little boys.
That's number one in England. Well, it's just going to make some more effete snobs around here. Now, Monitor Sports. Billy Hardwick of Louisville won seven tournaments in 1969, more than enough to earn him the position of America's top male bowler. Sports editor Len Dillon reports on Monitor's open line.
Billy Hardwick, congratulations on being named Bowler of the Year by the Bowling Writers for the second time.
Well, thank you very much, Len. It's a great privilege and an honor to have the press behind you or think that much of you to vote for you is quite a distinction. I'm really thrilled about it.
Am I correct in my figures that 90% of the pro bowlers on the tour are right-handed?
Yeah, that's about right. Maybe even a little more than that.
In a recent tournament this year, however, all the finalists were southpaws.
That's right.
How do you account for that?
Well, every now and then we come across a condition where it just favored the left side, that no matter what they did, that just turned out right, and the playing surface for the right-handers was very limited. And in a quick tournament where you only have 2 days to try and find it, they just got such a big jump and had so much going for them that we never could catch them.
Do you think it's because the right-handed bowlers have all that traffic on the right side of the lane that it affects the play?
Oh, definitely. There are so many bowlers on the right-hand side that there is what they call a little bit of a track.
Yeah.
And a track can either work for you or work against you. If it's a good playable track, then the right-hander will just completely dominate the left-hander.
Uh-huh.
But if it's a little spotty or if a high board sticks up every now and then on every lane you move to, you have to make an adjustment, and the left-hander has the same surface at all times.
Yeah.
So it just depends upon the house you're in.
Because of the fact that there are so few of them.
Right.
Well, Bill Hardwick, we want to thank you ever so much for being our guest on Monitor's Open Line. We certainly hope you win more than seven tournaments in 1970, if that's possible, and at least certainly equal the amount of money you won in 1969, which was $64,000. And again, congratulations on being named Bowler of the Year by the Bowling Writers.
Well, I thank you very much, and I'll try my best.
Thank you, Bill Hardwick, Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
Majesty's Secret Service, King Henry the Monitor. Time out.
News time is coming.